this commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Ground Control with Major Tom. I'm Keith. I'm producing and co-hosting with Major Tom. He has some family matters, so he's going to try to call in a little bit later by cell phone. This, of course, is listener-supported, so every little donation can help. I'd like to welcome, we have two very exciting guests on, James Wright, who was just on Steve Kelly's show. By the way, James, that was really an amazing interview. Stephen Kelly is a much better interviewer than I am. So, really wonderful information. And we also have Vinnie Eastwood joining us for the first time. And who would like to start?
I don't know. Should we flip a coin?
let's let Vinnie start. You were just talking a lot, and we've never had Vinnie on before. Vinnie, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, you know, somewhat fabulous is my standard response. I've just been spending all day on Facebook posting stuff about Anzac Day, like it's the Australia and New Zealand equivalent of Veterans Memorial Day. So I've been vigorously trying to remind people that it's not the dead who were victorious, it's the bankers who financed both sides of every war.
That's right. And why don't you tell us about your website or radio shows or any what you're doing along those lines.
Well, you can check out my radio show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. And I think it'll probably be about 4 to 5 days a week or so I'll be putting up new podcasts up there for people to listen to, a number of hours of interviews usually per day with really amazing, interesting guests and people, commercial free for the time being. And also I have New Zealand's most popular YouTube news channel. I've even outranked the mainstream media on that, is youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood or Mr. News Guerrilla Media, one word. And I've been in the people kind of describe me as the Alex Jones of New Zealand. Kind of, that kind of clears up a lot, but I'm very, very different.
Yeah, you're a lot more fun than Alex. And what's that saying you used to always say, the lighter side of genocide?
Yeah, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts.
Now, my understanding is you're friends with James. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that you're both on. I'm really feeling under the weather tonight, so I hope you guys will do most of the talking.
Oh, Lord.
I want to remind everybody, we are not taking calls the first hour, but after the second hour, I will open up the phone lines and you get to chat with these two wonderful people.
Yeah. It kind of takes me back. All that we're missing is Freighter X. We used to do some three-way shows between us, and that was always a great deal of fun, and I certainly miss doing that. So
it's a lot less fun than the traditional Masonic three-ways that they have in the lodge late at night.
Very true. Yes, the ones that the police get called out for. oh, it was just a noise disturbance. Their stereo was too loud, you know.
Well, the reality is they just wanted to borrow the handcuffs, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
I came up with a joke just before coming on air today. Did you know that the average Greek person is called Mediocrates?
Really?
No!
What?
You know the word mediocre?
Oh, okay, well, okay. I'm blonde. You got it. Yeah, okay. I get it.
I'm blonde too, and I came up with it, you know? I was just thinking about this. Like, I got interviewed on GCN just yesterday, actually. I mean, I've come off of 2 months off work. Because interviewing people like James and all of these other people who are exposing scumbaggery at really, really the highest levels, often they're really traumatized and they require somebody to actually pay attention to them and listen to them and actually care at the same time. Doing that is an extremely painful thing. It's emotionally exhausting, and I've been doing it for people for I don't know, 3+ years or so that I've been doing my radio show. And towards the end of February, I was just basically burning out, you know, and I really haven't done much of anything for the last 2 months. And I felt really guilty about taking time off of radio because there's plenty of scumbaggery to expose, right? And it doesn't seem to be stopping. And I think one of my listeners said to me, you know, Vinny, stop feeling guilty about it. You know, you've done a lot of work that you deserve a bit of time off to recuperate. And what was interesting is I didn't feel like working until he told me not to stop feeling guilty about it. And now that I'm not feeling guilty about it, I feel like working again.
It's funny how those things work. I've had the similar experiences.
Yeah, I mean, and Vinny, you're absolutely right about how you've almost been a counselor of sorts, and that's how we got rather close off air. I'd moved to Hollywood and I was feeling incredibly isolated, and I didn't have many people that, you know, I could talk to or whatever, and there were a lot of nights that, you know, you would sit up on the phone with me and let me just, you know, air my grievances, and you were like a shoulder to cry on, so to speak, and you know, I was very grateful for that, and that's, I learned from you actually to have a little bit more of a sense of humor about all this myself, because when I would give interviews, you know, prior to becoming closer to you, I was always usually very solemn and somber and very, you know, monotone and everything, but you really showed me how to liven up a little bit and just kind of turn what from a distance looks like a slapstick comedy anyway and you know, find that comedic value in it and run with it. And yeah, it's a quite ridiculous world we live in with cartoon Boris and Natasha villains. And so,
yeah, it's a difficult world. And, the problem is like, and I think we've all gone through this to varying degrees, is that you get brought up thinking the world is one way, making your career choices earlier on, and then later on, after you've spent all the best years and the youngest and the most potential years of your life working for a future that wasn't actually in freaking existence and will never be, it's actually quite depressing. It's like losing your entire life's work, and I think that's kind of what high school was meant to embody. It's just like, hey, do you know anything? No? Oh, good. We can teach you stuff that's wrong then, and you won't question us.
Yeah, and that's also, you know, goes in spades for the Masonic and other secret society type environments when you're talking about that inculcation and mind control and all of those components. I mean, I love it when they sit there and they go, we don't do that, ah, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, you finance the research thereof for the better part of 60 years, going all the way back to Project Bluebeam and MK Ultra and a little one known by the name of MK Cotton and all these things. And I mean, that's why I was talking with Stephen in the previous interview. You know, it's very difficult for me to read the works of Zachariah Sitchin and others like him, because a lot of it hits home and makes me realize, oh, yep, I was subjected to that and that and that and that. And you know, it's Mark Passio was on the radio a couple weeks back, and I forget the context in which this came up. It was basically, you know, what do we do about all of it? And he made a really astounding point, I thought, and he was talking about the women in these men's lives. You know, if the wives and the daughters and whoever else in the families of these men who are the evildoers, the scumbags, would take a stand and divorce their husbands, disown their fathers, then I think we would really, really make incredible headway in record time with putting a stop to it. So I think that Mark Passio is definitely onto something with that theory.
Well, I think Passio is onto it with pretty much everything he says most of the time. In fact, come to think of it, Passio hasn't said a single thing yet that I have found to be untrue or even found disagreeable to that point. And what's ironic about that is he doesn't mince words and he doesn't tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, well, like your thing with I'm going blank now. Pete Santilli, that's the one. I've now kind of entered into a similar little issue, we'll call it, with Jordan Maxwell. I was on a roundtable here on Revolution Radio last week, and it was the first time that Jordan Maxwell and I had been in the same place at the same time, despite numerous invitations of mine to take him to lunch while living in Los Angeles and all of that, and him always declining and avoiding it for some reason. And then people made me aware of some older interviews of his where he basically says that the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite protects him and he's friends with them. And so then it started to make sense and why this guy avoids me. And so they threw me in at the last minute without his knowledge, hoping to, you know, stir the pot, as it were. And there were definitely some things that were put to both of us to respond to, but one thing that he would not do was speak directly to me. And I was speaking directly to him plenty of times, but he would not engage me directly. And I learned something from it, which is, one, this knowledge of it that he touts of having 60 years of experience in this stuff is largely BS. I mean, I looked into his background and he got started in like roughly 1990, so 60 years, the math doesn't add up there. And second, he says he's an insider. Well, inside of what? What is it that he's been an insider of? Because to my knowledge, nothing. And that's the problem with, and I'm actually wanting to do a show on my show about this very topic, what is wrong with the alternative radio business. There's a lot of fame whores. There's a lot of, attention.
May I make an observation here? I think what happens is people come out of the normal, quote unquote, sphere, and then they go into the truth sphere. But they actually drag everything they were into the truth sphere with them. So if you're a douchebag and you think 9/11 wasn't an inside job, then you suddenly find out 9/11 was an inside job. It doesn't change the fact that you're still a douchebag, even if you talk on radio about it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And it was in this same show with Jordan Maxwell that they kept trying to change the subject off of dark, occulted, mystic, secret societies and blah, 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 and start talking about this Bundy Ranch debacle, you know, going on in Nevada right now. And obviously, I mean, who could possibly with a good conscience agree that it's right what the feds have been doing and blah, blah, blah. But one of the key figures out there from the alternative quote unquote media has been Pete Santilli. And so there are all these, Pete Santilli worshipers who were calling in and also consequently worshiping Jordan Maxwell. And it's like, and I even made a point to bring up your work and how you outed him as being, you know, a paid FBI informant. So if there's a party going down and Pete Santilli is one of the guests, then you know that there's skullduggery afoot.
Well, what I find is Santilli is an agent of the FBI. We know we've got the facts that he sent the Sacramento field office right after he derailed the truckers' ride for the Constitution, and then renamed their truckers' ride for the Constitution Facebook page, which had 200,000 likes, into the Guerrilla Media Network Facebook page with 200,000 likes. Right. When he did that to them, it occurred to me, after reading the facts that he sent to the FBI, that the FBI actually threatened him into becoming an agent. And this happened, right after, this is my theory, by the way, this happened right after he threatened to shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina. Now, do you know anybody who's threatened to shoot a public official in the private parts in U.S. history that didn't really get spoken to pretty harshly at the very least by nasty agents of the administration? I haven't heard of any. You know?
No, yeah, even if a child does it, they will dispatch Secret Service personnel to their home or to their school to ask them, you know, what was this all about? And so, yeah, he seems immune to that, and that's clue number one that, you know, a person has a higher involvement in that. And
what he does is he finds real, genuine movements, which were started up by somebody who's real and genuine, and then he inserts himself in there to get the spotlight for himself, his listeners, his ego, and is there also working for the FBI to derail any good that would come out of that movement, whilst at the same time trying to appear like he was the good guy who got set up, especially after he asked for PayPal donations on behalf of said movement, and then days after, when he's collected thousands upon thousands of dollars, say, oh, we got hacked, or there was something wrong, or somebody stole the money. And he's done this over and over again, and people don't see through him. And that's why I started up the Pete Santilli Victims Coalition, because I know many people who are good, decent, honorable, honest, patriots who have been shafted by this guy big time. I don't care if you're in America or in New Zealand or Australia. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're a victim of this scumbag, yeah, I feel for you. All right.
Well, and it makes it even all the more difficult, because then you're dealing with a situation of infighting. And, you know, once a person, a listener, latches on to a radio personality that they really fancy, then they just, you know, really adamantly defend that person. And that's why now I'm sustaining attacks about the Jordan Maxwell thing, and you sustained plenty about the Santilli thing, and you know, but I mean, if you want your information on secret societies, you know, you can sit there and listen to somebody ramble on about it, but you know, here someone like me is, who's dropped the evidence on the table every step of the way. Now I'm leaking never before heard audio, which I'm sure has caused massive Masonic strokes across the globe in my airing it, and yet people still want to yield to him, who basically is a person that stands on a stage and goes, oh, look at the spooky symbol here, oh, look at the spooky symbol there, oh, it probably means this, and now let's talk about astrology and where's my tambourine, and you know, and be sure you buy my videotape and pay for my workshop and all of that, and then look at us. You know, we're not making money off this. I mean, we're listener supported, but we struggle. Destitution is an understatement. You know, we do without a lot of things that a lot of these other types, like Jordan Maxwell, like Pete Santilli, seem to be living rather comfortably. So
I wouldn't know about that. About how they live and what they live. I mean, the people that I've talked to, that have, I don't know, had dealings with Santilli and Jordan, so they're not exactly living the high life per se. So I'm not sure about that, but what I am very cognizant of, and this is a realization I came to much earlier on in my life, thank goodness, was that when you put people up on pedestals, no matter who they are, if you see them as a hero and you put them up on a pedestal and you defend them when they're attacked and what have you, beware and be warned that if you're wrong, you will be the person that gets crushed when they come tumbling off of that pedestal. All right. When you learn things about your heroes that disappoint you, you can lose faith in everything.
Oh yes, so are you flip out and begin trolling people, much like is going on in the chat right now? I'm being called everything from a douchebag to, you know, a thrower of hissy fits, and you know, shame on the people who say things like that. If they really walked a day in my shoes, then they would understand that I am no such thing. I used to have the life of a very well-to-do socialite, and I sacrificed all of that just to bring this information forward. And what did I get from it? Did I get Anderson Cooper and the ladies from The View, you know, flying me to New York to throw money at me and let me tell my sob story and all that? No, I've seen no benefits from this whatsoever. And people yeah. want to take, you know, the words of Maxwell and Santilli and others of that ilk and take it like it's the gospel truth and never do their homework on the subject and figure out the validity to it. And yet people like us, we do our homework, we drop the evidence, and it seems like it just goes right over people's heads. You know, they miss it by a mile.
Well, and again, this is something that's happening to the entirety of humanity as a whole, is literacy is disappearing. It's funny you should mention Freighter and the Dark Occulted Mysticism show that we were doing, because I just did a comeback episode for the Dark Occulted Mysticism show with Freighter not a couple of days ago, and the archives are up on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And during that broadcast, Freighter's very well read, as you know. He's a member of 9 secret societies, and unlike nearly every single other member of any of these secret societies that he's part of, he goes into that lodge's archives. He gets musty old tomes that haven't been read in 100+ years or whatever, you know, like a prolific reader. And he was telling me about Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers of the United States, with the pamphlet Common Sense. Now, ironically, Freighter, being as well-read as he is, to go through just a pamphlet from Thomas Paine from the 1770s, he needed a thesaurus and a dictionary to sit there to define these words as he was reading through them. And he found out that back in the time that Thomas Paine and the American founding fathers were going around and everything, everybody was 100% literate. Even the slaves that were picking cotton could read. And now, the average American does not read. The average New Zealander does not read. The average person worldwide doesn't. And even if they wanted to, they'd have to do what Freighter had to do and go in with a dictionary and a thesaurus just to understand what it is that you're reading. This ability to comprehend, to decipher information, has been almost eliminated from the human race. That's why you have people that are so easily swayed by manipulative psychopaths, whether they be our elected officials or our very trusted Truth or Talk radio show hosts. Because you're incapable of deciphering the truth from the fiction. I mean, in the case of Santilli, every single thing he's ever said about himself that I've researched into turned out to not be true.
And we'll pick this up on the other side of the break, everybody. Great conversation, you guys. I'm really enjoying it.
Ghost in the Machine. Tuesdays, 8 p.m., Studio A.
Right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not leak. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
I'm when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everybody. We are joined by two wonderful guests. Vinny Eastwood is a first-time guest on the show, and James Wright. And before we go too much further, you guys, I'd like to be sure you get your websites out again. And we're not taking calls till the top of the hour, so if there's anything important you want to, you know, delve into, by all means, please do so.
I wanted to actually talk about, we were talking about a bit of infighting before, but there's a difference between infighting and exposing a wolf in sheep's clothing. All right. So if you're in a herd of sheep and you're the one sheep that goes, "Oh my God, it's a wolf. He's just wearing some sheepskin. Everybody, look, look, it's a wolf." And then the rest of the sheep go, "Nah, nah, you're just jealous. You're infighting. I'm not going to listen to you."
Yeah, well, that's actually a really good point. And I mean, shame on anybody that calls themselves a truther, but then wants to use it as an arena to pick fights in or behave as a troll or, you know, whatever. But, you know, my comments about Jordan Maxwell seem to have definitely stirred up a hornet's nest. And, you know, let me put it to you this way. I've put an open letter around the internet, on Facebook and other places as well, yielding to Jordan that if I'm wrong in any way about my suspicions about him, I will give him the full 2 hours of any one of my shows, any Friday he wishes to come on and, you know, completely take control and school me in all the ways that I am wrong. And I would then at that point write a handwritten letter of apology to post all over the internet. And I will meet him on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles and film for YouTube my bending down and kissing his feet. Should I be wrong about anything I have said about him? I promise and pledge that right now. But I don't think I'm going to be having to do that if you get my drift.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the other thing as well. I'm not 100% sure that we can, issue challenges and what have you to other people, because if they're guilty, they won't respond to the challenge. But if they don't respond to the challenge, that doesn't say to everybody, oh, they're guilty, does it? It just said, oh, I'm superior to you and I don't have to respond, you know? And it's like, this is actually one of the most difficult things within the movement in its entirety, and this is why it really F's a lot of people off, is because you are seeing, let's say somebody was saw you, James, as their hero, and they also saw Jordan Maxwell, and then they see their two heroes fighting. What happens most of the time is they won't actually go into the details and discern who's right or wrong. They'll either go by tone and say, oh, this guy sounds less angry, therefore he's probably correct, when he might be the psychopath, or they'll stop following the both of you and even stop being a truther in the first place in its entirety. And so
I don't know why a truther would want to put so much faith in someone who's, as I'm paraphrasing, of course, but someone whose message ends in they're going to win anyway. There's nothing we can do about it. That doesn't seem very truther or patriot to me, whereas, you know, my attitude that I'm not going to stop until Freemasonry is in a smoldering rubble. So, it's so counterproductive that every time we make a little bit of leeway with whatever the message is, whatever the cause is, the rally, the whatever, that it's like you have to make back steps to go over this childish high school level of bitching and just this ridiculousness that seems to plague anything, as, you know, it goes with human behavior. So that much is understandable, but I mean, it's not about picking sides. It never should be about picking sides or going with one. I'm in this camp, I'm in this camp, or whatever. We're all supposed to be in this together. But what I want to do is bring forward the best information that I can. And I've done that. I've brought forth more information, hard copy evidence and audio and everything else about the Masons than anyone else ever has in history. So why is my face not on the side of a bus like Edward Snowden? Well, because it's, you know, controlled. So, I mean, where do you go with that? It's going to take, and that's why I tell my listeners, you know, the best favor you could do for me is write your mainstream media. Make them keep hearing this and keep hearing this and let the numbers do the talking. And then maybe finally they'll do a little 10-minute segment on it sometime and, you know, this type of information will get out. Because, I mean, anything we could talk about can be tied back into Freemasonry, because these are the people and the network that it's all tied into. So it's counterproductive to sit there and go on and on about Bohemian Grove or the Bilderbergers or Skull and Bones or any of these other things, because Freemasonry is the octopus over them all.
See, I thought Bohemian Grove was when you throw up your Bilderberger.
Yeah. You're so crazy.
You know, I've actually been inside the Bohemian Grove.
Dun, dun, dun.
Was somebody inside you while you were inside the Bohemian Grove?
No, I'll tell you. It's a real short story. I was a Motorola radio tech, and they needed work on their radios. And so a couple times I went there and did a bunch of work for them. And it's a very beautiful place. But I'll tell you, the vibe in the office there is definitely creepy.
How many of the old men hit on you?
You know, it wasn't at a time when they were having any, you know, big events or anything.
Oh, so this was like outside of Grove meeting time, you know, just be like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's very quiet and very beautiful. Huge, tall redwood trees there next to the redwood forest next to the Russian River.
Did you find it really majestic, the silence of all the dead buried children in the woods?
You know, I didn't know any of this information at the time, but a friend of mine who's also a tech actually worked on that owl they have on the lake, you know, where they do their ceremonies, is actually a fabricated structure, and inside it is like PA equipment and stuff like that. He actually worked on inside the owl for them once.
He worked inside the owl.
Yeah, it's just cool.
Whose name is Moloch?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've also got this other thing that I wanted to talk about today, seeing as we've got the platform and got James here, is the belief of the God of Freemasonry. Now, one of my friends is only a third level Blue Lodge Mason, so he could have, if he wanted to, have become 32nd or maybe even 33rd at this time, considering his lineage and his ability to decipher and repeat back the material, but he didn't. He went out after the third degree, and he only pops around every now and again to have a few drinks with the other Mason boys. These are what you call porch Masons, okay? There's a number of different yes. kinds of Masons. Most of them have no fracking idea what Freemasonry is about, okay? He told me, look, we've only got one thing that we all have to agree on, that there's a higher power. And I said to him, so you're telling me that an ancient secret society that was birthed in the minds of King Solomon way back, like thousands of years ago and what have you, has been indoctrinating people into a leveled society where you have to learn piece of knowledge after piece of knowledge after piece of knowledge before you can advance your way up the food chain, that an organization that sophisticated with that much longevity believes in a higher power and has no idea what that higher power is? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's what he's telling you. that's how it is. That is the raison d'etre of global Freemasonry, and that's on that Blue Lodge level. Now, even with your when you're cohorting with 32nd degree Masons at the Scottish Rite, the average one is still going to be at that same level of ignorance because, you know, they came in, they sat in the opera house and watched the marathon of degrees 4 through 32 and all of that, and you know, you sleep through half of them because some are quite boring, and you have no idea what's going on around you, that's for sure. And you know, then they tell you, well, read Morals and Dogma. Well, how many Masons are actually going to sit and read Morals and Dogma? It has to be one of the driest, most boring reads, you know, ever put on paper. And but in it, it clearly defines that ultimately it is an allegiance to Lucifer, and or depending on how much faith you put in what they explain with the Templars, you know, Baphomet and that sort of thing. Moloch is mentioned very briefly, Yabulon. But yeah, when you're a Blue Lodge Mason, you don't have to say you could be Church of Satan and sit there and tell them, well, yeah, I believe in a supreme deity, and that's good enough for them.
You know, it is one of those painful things that you have to actually recognize is people do have the capacity to get other people to think things that simply aren't true. Not only that, but they have the ability to prevent you from accepting the real truth once it comes along. Even worse than that, they can tell you that you're the enemy of truth for saying it.
Yes, well, these are people who, like, the highest of the high adepts, and whether they were inculcated in the environment of the Rosicrucians or in Blue Lodge Freemasonry or in the OTO or whatever the hell. Where they end up, if they go the distance and they end up, you know, at that final resting place of Silver Star, aka the Illuminati, then the belief there is it takes on sort of a theosophy, you know, Blavatsky, Bailey, what the Rosicrucians would refer to as the Great White Brotherhood, meaning beings from a higher dimension, the same supposed beings that scribed the Book of the Law to Aleister Crowley. So if you're of Silver Star, then Aleister Crowley is a prophet for you. You accept him as a modern day prophet who was a scribe and so on and so forth. And you know, that's really, I mean, I've been to plenty of OTO functions in my time on this earth, and it seems to me that the most annoying thing about any of them is that they sit around worshiping Crowley the entire time rather than actually putting their faith into this religious material that he put forth. And I just think the whole thing is quite ridiculous, actually.
Well, it's just a mind control cult. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to recruit people for demon possession, and this is what you've said to me more or less, and I've actually heard the same from a number of people who've gotten up there and really done the research, and you actually have to get your head buried into this stuff before you come to that information, more or less. You got to make sure that people don't realize what the game is before it's too late. You know, I mean, if you inducted somebody into a lodge, you throw the cable toe around them. You say that this is about the a cable toe, by the way, you know, a noose, ladies and gentlemen, and you put it around your neck and you hang somebody with it. Well, what you do is you pop that over a mason's neck, and it's now a suit and tie. It's a cable toe. It's there to represent the little cord that kept you in touch with your mother during your days of darkness. And now they're leading you into the light. As I say, it's about enlightenment. But what they're not telling you is that light is Lucifer. That the reason why we're putting this down you is so we can not lead you into the light, but so we can strangle you in the dark.
Well, exactly, and it's also too, from the very get-go, instill that sort of fear in everybody, and that's why, you know, with what I do, a lot of Masons out there end up trolling me because they have a very expected knee-jerk reaction to want to defend the place and so on and so forth, because, you know, oh, how could you do that? Well, it's like, as far as I'm concerned, you're asking the wrong question. The question you should be asking is, how could they do the things that they do? Never mind what I do. So, you know, learn to think for yourself. And, you know, if the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again, expecting a different result, then you can define all of Freemasonry A to Z as insanity, because that's what it is. That's what lodge ritual is. That's what the reoccurrence of attendance in these ceremonies and rituals is. It's always the same thing over and over. So, I mean,
it's kind of like in a role-playing game, how you become like a level 6 magician or a level 10 warrior or a level 8 rogue or something like that. You become a 32nd degree mind control victim.
Yes, yes. I mean, yeah, by the time the 32nd degree is, you know, injected into you, then you're definitely far down that path and questioning that's actually part of the Masonic law. That's part of my Masonic charges that they wrote up against me, was questioning Freemasonry both publicly and privately. So you see, I was not allowed to even raise concerns of what was going on in my situation quietly in the proper channels to the proper authorities. That's considered a Masonic offense.
And here's the other thing. If Masonry and all of the secrets and occult knowledge that they impart on people is so benign and so safe and what have you, why do you have to swear to be able to get killed and have your throat cut or buried up to your neck in sand at the low tide mark if you reveal anything? Like, yeah. I mean, have you ever had like a 5-year-old or something like that come up to you and go, hey, I want to tell you a secret. You're a 5-year-old. You don't know nothing, okay? There are no secrets that you could possibly tell me. Like,
well, yeah, and the only explanation that they've ever put forth with that is, you know, oh, it's tradition, blah, blah. But, I mean, no, come on. And there is no. I mean, I'm considered a scholar with Masonic whatever, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, there's nothing in the history of it to suggest that it should have those oaths or take on that sort of a atmosphere and context, because that's been put in it at a later date when this mind control stuff was put in it at a later date. Once upon a time, it was this wonderful thing. At the founding of America, it was this wonderful thing. But then by the end of George Washington's life, he wrote, you know, some diary entries about this influence coming over from Europe that was seeking to infiltrate both it and the newly formed country of America. What he was, and he named it, he called it the Illuminati, which is what the name of it was at the time. It's now the Silver Star today as we're talking, but that's what he, that was the prophecy he laid out, and it would appear he was correct, and it's come true. So
now we have a question in the chat room. Why does James have no suicidal programming, or if he knows what it is?
I might. I've had an abnormal amount of suicides in my family. It seems like something that I've dealt with many, many times over. I've almost become desensitized to even talking about it, it kind of feels like. But I can sit here and say that I'm definitely not suicidal. I don't believe in it, and I don't ever foresee a time where things – I would go live on the beach under a palm tree and, you know, eat from a dumpster before I would ever consider offing myself. So I just perhaps there is some kind of a trigger. That's another really good reason why I'm not in communication with my family back in Texas, because they know how to trigger me, and it's not a good idea to have them on the phone with me.
And not to mention the last time, your last interaction with your mother, she got you put in a mental institution or something, didn't she?
Yes, I made them
drugged you up and forced you to watch Disney cartoons. You know, I mean, like, talk about cruel and unusual torture.
Yeah, I made the mistake of setting foot back in Texas for a short while, and I'd heard through the rumor mill that my mother had come down with breast cancer, and I actually got to feeling sorry for her, and I reached out to her and let her know, you know, that I was sorry to hear that, and so forth. And the next thing I know, she's out filing what they call a white warrant and having me picked up by, you know, the men in the white coats to haul me off for mental evaluation, claiming that, that my book and the radio stuff and all of that, that I'd clearly lost my mind and was paranoid, delusional, and everything. So I was held in that facility for 3 days, after which the doctors evaluated me and released me, saying that there was nothing wrong with me. I was perfectly fine.
Well, and this is the other thing as well. I've started to realize that mental health, it's not psychology, it's psychotherapy, for example, has no merit, right? It's just none. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm feeling really depressed. Well, here's a drug. They don't ask, why are you depressed? Well, my wife left me and my best friend committed suicide and what have you. They don't then go, oh, well, that explains a lot. Would you like me to talk to you, listen to you for a bit, and actually give a frack about what you're saying? No. Just give me the drug, bro. I'll be right.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I go see a mainstream therapist, you know, usually about every other week, and talk about whatever various pressures that I'm experiencing or whatever. And the last appointment, they tried to write me a prescription for Depakote, and I looked it up right there on my phone, and I said, oh, so you want to give me a pill with fluoride in it. So I'm supposed to swallow a fluoride pill once a day, and that's going to fix me. Have you lost your mind? Oh, well, this is to curb your emotions. You're prone to emotional outbursts. Like, but see, that's the real problem, though, isn't it?
Well, it's almost like they see humans as machines, and emotions as a ghost in the machine, something that must be controlled, brought back in line in a mechanical way.
Yeah. I mean, well, and like the people are talking about in the chat about various triggers and everything, I mean, part of the problem seems to have gone away, because my aunt was basically the, what they, like in Zachariah Sitchin's work, what he would refer to as the grand dame. She was the sort of programmer of the family, and she's now in the final stages of Alzheimer's and doesn't even remember really. So, I don't have to worry about triggers. coming from her. Now, my mother, different story. If my phone was to ring right now and my mother's number was on caller ID, I simply would not answer the phone because that could end very badly. So, I'm diligent, you know, but, as far as I don't, when I take stock of the various threats that I deal with in a day, which are considerable, that's not at the forefront of what I deal with or really on my mind that much. I'm more worried about the private detective that's parked, you know, down the street taking notes of every time I come and go out of my front door and when I leave and come back and, you know, follow me around town. And that's more of a pressing threat as far as I'm concerned than possibly picking up the phone and receiving some kind of a trigger or whatever. And then that's another thing in and of itself is it seems like a lot of the programming that they tried to instill in me somehow, some way did not take. And I think that I've been the subject of a great deal of fascination with these types of people as to why it didn't take. You know, what is it that makes me different? What infusion of the bloodlines did I have specifically that were variables in this equation, because this is all a science to them.
Yeah. And you do have a ridiculous long list of bloodline affiliations with the Illuminati families and things like that as well, don't you?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I sent you some stuff. Yeah, my family history reads like an invitation list to a Bilderberg freaking meeting, does it not?
Yeah. In fact, I might have it here in front of me somewhere. You mind if I read it out the...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Because it was just so amazing. It was like, wow, my God. Give me a moment to find that, because there's the other element here is interesting as well, because we talk about the Illuminati bloodlines like Blue Blood, True Blood, the book written by Stuart Swerdlow. From expansions.com, and he's traced back all these bloodlines, and basically they've been ruling humanity since the time immemorial. On top of that, we were talking about it escapes me now. Oh yeah. A 14-year-old girl had a science project, and her science project was to do the genealogy on the current president of the USA, Barack H. Obama. And she didn't do it right. She did genealogy double take, which means instead of just following the father's line or just following the mother's line back and tracing all of those, you actually get both of them. And she found out that every single president in the history of the United States is related by blood.
Yes, and that's provable, and my genealogy is direct proof of that. I'm related to every single one. Actually, the closest one I've found so far is I'm fourth cousin to Abraham Lincoln, and that's very close. That's practically, you know, like you might as well have grown up down the street or something, you know, just at the same time. It's,
oh, here we go. I found him. Where are we? These are your relatives. Gilbert
Benny,
and Veer. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got the break music coming on. We'll go ahead and start with that at the top of the next hour. We'll let you do that, and then I'll open the phones.
We'll be right back on Revolution Radio.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey folks, Captain Nighthawk here. Do you have a favorite host? Well, imagine if you will have all the broadcast shows from 2013 to listen to anytime you want. Awesome deal, huh? Anyway, so stop by freedomslips.com and order the entire 2013 library of your favorite host for just $30. Not only do you help with the station funding to keep us on the air, you also help the host because they get half of the net on every order. Also, we have Revolution Radio's all-time favorite shows all on one disc. The details are really broad, so you'll have to visit the website and go look at the details yourself. It's, again, www.freedomslips.com/season2013.htm. And get your favorites. First come, first serve, 7 to 21 days for delivery. Thank you. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps, including me. Later.
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
Enjoy your extra big-ass fries!
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries!
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford
oh,
to make
no,
a purchase.
No.
I'm sorry you're
come
having
on.
Trouble.
Come on.
I'm
my
sorry
kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So, if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. Even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution. Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host,